Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
The sponsor for this program is Prosperity. Looking for ways to cut down your payments, whether it is your mortgage, your credit card payments, or your loans? Allow Prosperity to win in your life. Go to bit.ly/prosperitywon. Again, that's bit.ly/prosperitywon. Welcome to Deep Exposure, a promotional talk show for individuals who have a passion for what they bring to the world. Here, we are talking about you, the artist, the promoter, the entrepreneur, and the community service organizer. If you have a voice, we have a platform and the marketing to getting your individual voice heard. Welcome to Deep Exposure.
Hey, this is Corey Rashawn, your casual conceptualist, your host for tonight. Let me say that again, your casual conceptualist and your host for tonight on Deep Exposure. I want to welcome everybody to the show. It is another Monday. I hope everybody had a beautiful day today wherever you are, whether it rained, it shined, it snowed, or you just stayed home and just relaxed, hopefully. Relaxing and resting is the key. I'm starting to realize to prosperity. Because without rest, can we live our life? I'm actually going through something personally which it requires me to rest up. And I am a caretaker, most people know, and the stress has gotten to me. So I am recovering and healing from something personally and hope to get in the car and drive again. When your freedom is taken away, it's either for two reasons. One, Source, God, your higher power, whatever it is that you believe in is asking you to stop and become your authentic self, or you ain't listening to your body, to yourself, and it's very important. I had a conversation with a brother about him losing his leg because of diabetes. I don't know the full extent of his story, but you know, we talked about it. I'm a diabetic as well. He's got a cookbook coming out, and I'm hoping that I can bring him on the program soon, and we can talk about that and a little bit more. But you know, when you've got something that is considered a disease and you're not paying attention to that and not taking care of yourself on a regular basis, and it takes hold of you, you've got to take hold of you, and you've got to come from a place from your inner self and say, hey, I need to listen to me. And the listening to self is very important when it comes to living a desired life and a prosperous life and an abundant life and a life that's not full of lack. Because if you're not living for you totally, 100% you, then you are going to see some lack in your life. And there's, you know, that's a deeper thing. And actually, that's for the ponder this show, which was exciting. Let me give you a little insight to that, because I wanted to promote that as well. Last Saturday, we jump-started Ponder This. It is a road, it is a path that I have been on for many years, silently, with special friends of mine from college. Even when I graduated college, I was doing some writing and would share it with people, with my ex-girlfriends doing writing, poetry, and things that I would share with them, and whether they were my muse, especially with my poetry, but with the things that were coming into my cipher that I wanted to discuss and talk about. 2 or 3 years ago, I put it out and started circulating some of my thoughts and ideas through Facebook. So, you know, I have a Ponder This. I have two, actually. I have a private one, but I took away that private one. It's amazing how life will, if you're traveling life in an aware state of who you are, it's amazing to watch yourself grow. So I'm going to reiterate. I went from doing things in college amongst my friends to doing some things with my community people and sharing those inside thoughts with them and having discussions with them, to then finally putting it up on Facebook, but in a private little group, and now exposing it to the world, where I am no longer fearing my true authentic self and putting it out to the world so that hopefully I can help others. I do everything from a state of love. I'm an advocate of love and loving. My business has always been about pushing and supporting people and their authentic self and their authentic nature and their creative selves, and giving them a platform for them to expose themselves to the world. So I've turned the outside in and decided to give that love back to myself and put myself in front of the world under Ponder This, under my nickname Ray Vision, the voice of light, the vision of the sun is where that comes from, and sharing that with others. So if you are free in the mornings on Saturdays at 10 a.m., please come back to the same location. We are on Think Big Radio, and you will be able to have conversations. We'd love for people to join in. It's called a communal conversation. Commune over your coffee, your tea, your crumpets, your toast, your eggs, your bacon, your grits, and maybe your waffles and your fried chicken and syrup. You know what I'm saying? You know, and let's get into a conversation where we are going to be discussing what is love. And I am so excited about that show. So, again, check us out. It's called Ponder This. You can go to ponderthisone.com as well and check us out there. You know, give us your input. I'm creating a love lifestyle movement. That's what it's called, the love lifestyle. Let's bring love back, people. All right, so we are here on Deep Exposure, and we're going to be talking to some phenomenal people tonight. I'm very excited. Our first guest is Tina Jetter, and her, actually the lead as well to her show called John Reich. Let me see, wait, because it's a race named after a beer. I'm going to talk to him about that. I wonder if his family's a part of the beer company, Reich Beer. Does anybody remember the Reich Beer Company? I don't know if anybody remembers that. I'd have to go to a beer and wine warehouse to see if they still sell that. From my earlier days with going to the baseball field with my father, that used to be out there when my dad used to work for IBM and would be playing on a few teams. I remember Miller Beer, Reich Beer, and some other beers that were there. So, you know, we'll see. So I am going to play their intro. I'm waiting for either one of them to come in. We've got Tina on and John Reich. So here, a little introduction about who these two are. Tina Jetter has been acting since she was 4 years old. From starting in the Playhouse Disney Channel commercials to attending the prestigious American Musical and Dramatic Academy, Tina is an experienced and professional actress with abundant credentials. She has appeared in numerous award-winning productions, from playing the lead role in Mommy Loves Me, directed by Joy Yang, Rivers Wash Over Me, directed by John Young, and Love the Brotherhood, a George Tillman Jr. story, directed by Shahid Hopper, to appearing in Law & Order, Sesame Street, Reading Rainbow, and a couple of national commercials. Her body of work has appeared in many productions around the globe as well. John has been singing for many years of his life and is still singing to this day, being part of a vocal group, Voices
of the new generation. In high school, he got into theater and would continue to perform in college. He fell in love with performing and wanted to pursue it as a career. Growing up, John loved watching action movies, and it's always his dream to have played the hero. Well, it started in this production of Saving You, Saving Me. He loved portraying the character almost as much as he loved enjoying working with the fight choreography. John also had the opportunity to be a part of a short film called It's Time, where he played the role of Paul. He can't wait to push his career even further.
All right, we're going to introduce them to you. We're going to welcome them to the show. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing very good. Very good.
Good, good, good. This, John, real quick, just a sidebar. Is your family related to the beer company?
Nah, I'm afraid not.
Okay.
If it was, though, my mom would be bigger, that's for sure.
Okay. Right, well, we have both of you on. We're going to speak to both of you, but I want to introduce Tina first, since she is the filmmaker, the writer, the director, and also acted in her own film. Give us a little bit more of an introduction than what we have. Give us something that we don't know about you and this film that you have coming out.
Yeah, sure. So I've actually been acting since the age of 4, and my mom, you know, she and a few of her friends, they saw something in me. And so my mom, you know, decided to take a chance. You know, she ended up quitting her first job because of me, and she just went full on in. And I'm definitely grateful for everything that has happened because, to be honest, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't even be able to talk about Saving You, Saving Me among other projects that I've done. So I do want to say shout out to her. But
nice.
Yeah, so I've been doing it since I was 4, and then ever since about, like, 4 years ago, that's when I really got into pretty much behind-the-scene work, meaning, you know, writing, directing, producing, editing even. So I'm pretty much just trying to keep myself, you know, in the know, just well mixed together with everything, so, yeah.
Okay, that transition from going from in front of the camera to behind the camera and then also being a part of the project and being in the project, I think that is miraculous for when people do that. I mean, you're talking about you write the project and then you're directing the project and then you're actually acting in the project.
That, oh, man, it is a lot of work.
There it is. There it is. And is this the first time that you've done those multiple hat type of projects, or is this the first one where you're wearing all these hats and then and doing the work?
No, this is definitely not the first time. Like, if people look me up on YouTube, which is just my name, Tina Jetter, like, they'll see 3 short films where I not only wrote it, but I directed it and I acted in it. They're called Am I Crazy?, Bad Judgments, and The News. So those 2 projects, those are my first ever short films I've ever done. It's been a blessing on each of them. And, yeah, so it's not my first time. But Saving You, Saving Me, that one's so special to me, and I know we'll get into that a little more, because that's my first feature film that I ever wrote. And I wrote that about 3 years ago. So it took 3 or 4 years of, like, hard work and you know, reaching out to people, networking, and now it's finally about to be done. Like, it's incredible thinking about the journey that I went just to do this, my first feature film. So, yeah.
Okay. And so give us a little synopsis about it, and where are you in the process? Is it completely done and you're waiting for to edit, or is it out already?
Right, so it's still being edited. The only reason why it's not out yet is because it's a vampire film. So there's a lot of special effects, you know, mainly the eyes. Like, you know, I have to make sure, like, the eyes can get changed. So my mom and I were talking to, like, a whole bunch of editors trying to figure out, like, who's the best one and hopefully the most affordable, because let's be honest, it's not cheap, you know. I can understand that. But, yeah, so it's being edited right now. But a little synopsis, pretty much, it's about, you know, the main star, well, me, just an ordinary girl, and she really just doesn't know what, you know, she wants to do with her life, if she even wants to be alive anymore. And then at the same time, we see that there's a secret society of vampires, and they actually need her in order to, you know, keep them alive. So it's kind of like a rush of time, you know. Does John, who plays the lead, does he get to me in time? And pretty much what happens overall, there's a lot of stuff that happens, a lot of important characters that are going to get introduced. And it's cool because, just giving you guys a little teaser, that there definitely will be a part two. So when you see it and you're like, oh, what happened to so-and-so, there's a part two. So, yeah.
I was going to ask, because it sounds like this is a continual here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I want to say really quickly that my inspiration came from Twilight. So after I saw the first movie of Twilight, I decided to write it. And before I knew it, I didn't know, but it was a feature film. So I just wanted to put it out there, too.
Gotcha. And what is John's role? And then, John, I'm gonna chime you in after she explains that.
All right.
Yeah, so he plays the lead character. So I'm the lead, and he's also my co-star. The name is Robert. And I'll let him describe his character. That's who he plays. He also had other little stuff. Like, he actually ended up being, like, the fight choreographer because, like, we had one, but it kind of didn't work out. So he was like, I'm just going to step in and do it. And I know he was really happy, like, when he got to do all those little stunt work because he loves doing that stuff. So, yeah.
Well, I will say, John, I did get a chance to see a video of you in your martial arts, so I'm truly looking forward to seeing what you look like in the movie, since you've got that martial art background. And I come from a not my own. Well, no, there's people in my family that are in the martial arts, but they're a friend of my godson's father is like a black belt or something higher, and his daughter is as well. So I've been to a few meets, but I liked what I saw. So talk a little bit about your role and how you feel about, you know, the piece as well.
All right. Well, the character of Robert, he's very, you know, he's the leader type. He likes to put others before himself. He pretty much, he would put his own life down for anyone else. So, you know, he's the very protective kind of guy, that kind of thing. You know, the white knight, if you will, that kind of character. The piece itself, I mean, I loved being a part of it. You know, I got to learn. This is also my first film production I've ever done, period. And it was just such a good experience getting to learn how it's all done. And like Tina mentioned, being the fight choreographer, it was just it was more work that I got to do, and I didn't know I'd be doing it. I didn't know how much I'd love it. But everyone was very cooperative, and we came together, really made it happen. And you know, it was just, again, I thank you, Tina, for having me on board, and yeah, looking forward to part two.
So let me ask you this. The fight scenes, I mean, you know, I don't have a trailer or anything, so you're really going to have to give us a kind of a graphic detail. But because of your background, how long have you been in the martial arts?
Let's see. I've been doing it now for 13 years.
Okay, so you've definitely got extensive background.
Yes.
And so how much did that play a part? Like, it almost seems like 13 years you could probably also teach. And so the people that you're acting with, you know, it's so funny. A sidebar, but not really a sidebar. I was in a play a long time ago in college. I had some martial arts background, and the person was supposed to slap me in the play. And my martial arts background came up to where I blocked the slap. It wasn't supposed to happen that way, but my instinct, because you know, when you're in it, it's just instinctive for you to block. You know, it's just, you know, innate in you after a while. And so I just wanted to bring that up because it just, you know, where I'm going with you is because, you know, you 13 years is enough, you know, to really know what you're doing. And to really infuse that into your acting very well, and I know that you always wanted to be a superhero. We heard about that in your bio, and so when you're choreographing, the fight scenes, how much of your knowledge really played a part in making those things work with being an actor and having that history?
Well, it is funny that you mentioned the whole teaching aspect. I am a teacher at my martial arts school, at my dojo. And, well, being a part of it and just being a martial artist, it also keeps you in shape for the kind of roles that I want to go for. Obviously, the hero, you know, the build and, you know, the athleticism and all that. It really helps me also with just, you know, being an actor and projecting my voice. It also helps as a singer. It just, it helps really with everything in a way. And, you know, even mental stability. And, you know, I'm so glad that I've stuck with it. And, you know, with the production and teaching everybody, you know, again, it really helped because if I didn't have my background, I didn't know, I don't know what we would have done. But, you know, just being able to teach at my dojo really helped me teach people who weren't exactly used to martial arts. Like, I had a few people in the cast that said, yeah, no, I used to Taekwondo, you know, I'm a gymnast. You know, there were people that had, you know, some athleticism or dancing or that kind of thing. Everyone had their own, like, diverse little properties. So it all came in together, and it worked.
Yes, right. And, like, I do have to add mm-hmm. that, like, he definitely is an amazing teacher. Because when I tell you that I really don't have any experience, and the amount of times that I fell is ridiculous. So he really was patient with me. So he really is an amazing teacher, just saying.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So what do you think this will be coming out? Say it again?
It took her a minute, but yeah, no, she got it.
Yeah.
She got it then.
I got it eventually.
Okay, that's cool. So when do you think this will be coming out?
You know, I would say honestly we were really aiming for, like, the beginning of this year, but that was before we, like, figured out how much work was going to have to be put into it. So mm-hmm. now we're hopefully before the end of this year or by the end of this year. It really is a long process.
Yeah.
So hopefully before next year, it hopefully will be out and everything.
Okay. Well, I hope I get invited to a premiere of some sort.
Would love
to see it.
You got the first invite.
We'll make it happen.
Okay. It sounds good. Another question for both of you.
Yeah.
In the acting arena, where do you guys really, where do you want to see yourself going?
Tina, you start.
For me, like, I kind of think differently now, like, kind of 180. Like, when I first started in the business, my, like, main thing was, oh, my gosh, I just want to get famous and, you know, make a lot of money and stuff like that. But now, like, now that I've had a lot of experience and I've talked to a lot of, like, knowledgeable people, now for me, it's really just making sure, like, I'm doing what I love to do, which is acting and, of course, doing behind-the-scene work. Yeah, but strictly for acting, being famous is really not important to me. I could care less if anyone knows my name, to be honest. That's fine with me. Making a lot of money, well, I hope that happens, but at the same time, I'm okay not making money doing what I love. As long as I am
right.
doing what I love, like, for me, that
you
is
you can always pay
important.
The rent.
And
Yes.
And as long as I'm doing that, like, I'm seriously happy. Because people really do see, like, a light shine from within me whenever I am on set, whether it's behind the scenes or in front of the camera or both. So I know this is what I want to do. So, yeah.
Okay. And, John, what about you? Where do you would like to see yourself be in this career?
For me, I'm really, you know, I know I got a long way to go, but I am aiming big. You know, as we mentioned, I would love to play some sort of hero. I would really love to, you know, be with Marvel, you know, and just get to work with those people and just get to be a part of that. It's always kind of been a dream of mine ever since I saw my first, you know, Marvel film. I just loved what I saw. You know, I got big dreams. I got a long way to go, but I plan on making it happen, you know?
Fantastic. Well, to both of you, I wish you the best. I'm looking forward to seeing the film. Like I said, I'll wait for my invitation in my email. John, tag me in Facebook. I want to see more of your martial arts because I love the martial arts. please do that for me. But like I said, I wish you all the best in reaching your dreams. I know it can happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Ponder this. This is Ray Vision of Ponder This. We're going to bring Ponder This back on March 3rd. We're asking the question, what is love? We will take 3 months, March, April, and May, to talk to our guests about what is love for them and have a full hour conversation every Saturday at 10 a.m. to go in deeper about love. What is love for you? Call in, chime in, find us on Facebook, and let us know what is love for you, and be prepared, like I said, save the date, March 3rd, Saturday, at 10 a.m. on Think Big Radio. Ponder this, what is love?
Okay, March 3rd passed, so check us out on March 10th. I'm going to introduce our next our next guest. Her name is Valtisha Parker.
Her name, as unique as her personality, pronounced Valtisha because you must smile when you say it. She is an advocate for happiness, health, and wellness. Published author, poet, wife, mother, friend, and native New Yorker. She strives to exchange elevated energy with everyone who crosses her path. As a survivor of domestic violence, alcoholism, depression, and other life problems, she learned to grow and become an active passion pusher, opposite of dream killer, helping others to stay encouraged as they work towards their God-sized dreams. Valtisha is an MVP of Equanimity, New York City. And she creates handcrafted gifts infused with healing powers of therapeutic-grade essence oils and likes to spread peace and joy to others.
Valtisha Parker, yes. Queen, hello.
Yes, sir, King Corey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I am doing well. I want to first say this. I honor you. After reading and your bio and doing the voiceover for it, this black man will have to bow down to you when I see you the next time. I honor women that live through, grow through, and expand through their journey in life. And so I have to say I honor you for that.
I absolutely appreciate your expression of that, and I am so excited for you. I'm happy about this new Ponder This show, the one, What is Love? And I truly appreciate you extending this platform. Thank you so much, Corey.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, that is me walking in my authentic self. So,
yes.
It's always good to be in that place. So I want to talk a little bit about your business, but I know that you want to talk about ownership in America, and so we're going to get to that. I want you to explain a little bit more about what type of products you have and where people can find that.
Okay. Well, everything is handcrafted, mostly in my kitchen. I make handcrafted roses, aromatherapy beeswax candles, brown sugar body scrubs, peppermint oil. Right now, peppermint essential oil is the only oil I use in my lip balm. Plush bath burst. I say bath burst because I don't really use the word balm. And I also have children's books. But everything I hand make in my kitchen is made with therapeutic grade essential oil.
Got it.
Yeah. It started out
Go ahead. It started out as?
It just started out as gifts I would give to family when, I was in a financial hardship. They're beautiful. They smell great. So it wasn't like giving them a cheap gift. And then family and friends were just saying, well, why don't you monetize it? So all of my products can be found on my website, which is www.equanimity4nyc.net.
Right. And I love the name, by the way. That is awesome.
Thank you.
So, yeah, smart move on that. I was like, equanimity, that's beautiful. So is this a part of your own a business, you have a business, and you're saying that, I'm going to read what you said. You said you wanted to talk about the power of the black dollar from the perspective of a business and why it is important to own something in America. So define that for me. Go into that a little deeper. Why is that important?
So, well, let's look at it this way. Most of us are encouraged from a very young age to go to school, get a great job, retire and just live the golden years that way. But what we're finding is in the most recent generations, it's not happening that way. We're definitely encouraged to be consumers to, quote unquote, stimulate the economy. But it turns out that what we're doing is just working to bail out the big banks. So, what we want to remember is Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results every time. So many of us find that generations after generations are still experiencing struggle. And in order for us to get different results, we have to attempt to become entrepreneurs and business owners. And what I find through my journey is the risk we're taking as entrepreneurs is far better than the risk we're taking, depending on government benefits. But the U.S. government is quite volatile. It's no telling what it's going to be tomorrow or through the next administration. And,
well, we can find it out on Twitter, but keep going.
Right, especially now, right? And, a lot of people take a risk in depending on job security, which is now virtually non-existent. Most people who've retired in the past 10 years are working now past the age of 70, which I said before is like supposed to be your golden years. You're supposed to relax. You worked hard all this time, but you're still working. And, we know that in the next 15 years or so, Social Security will be depleted. For generations, there's been a competition between employees who are experienced and employees who are educated. I'm listening.
Go ahead. If you got a point, make your point, and then I'll ask you the question.
Okay. So one point that is common for people to make, and I don't know how people feel empowered by this, but it's a common quote to say that there's a $1.5 trillion in black spending power. But that, to me, that's not really something to boast about, because much of that money goes towards wealth accumulation or improving conditions in the black community. So, like Dr. Claude Anderson brings out in his book Power Economics, when you give away your money, you give away your power. So, I just want to encourage people to get their power back.
Now, how long? Okay, so I get it. I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been thinking this way? That's
the
first question.
Okay, so back in high school, I always had a side hustle. Writing reports or resumes or writing poems for people in puppy love. So I've always thought about having my own money. Allowance just was not enough. So,
back up for 1 second. You were writing poetry for money.
Yes.
For puppy dog teenage lovers.
Yes.
Girl, I wish I had your mind, and I could have been doing that. I never thought about that, but keep going.
Naturally, I am the oldest of four, so my three younger siblings, were what my mom had to take care of, and I just did my part by trying to make my own money.
I feel you. Very good. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So going through that, saying, okay, I got to put money in my pocket. I want money for me. I can make my own. So you've always had that mindset of being an entrepreneur.
Yes, absolutely. I don't believe in waiting around and asking for handouts. So I'll do it on my own.
Okay. So in the current state of now, which is what you just talked about, in terms of the black, it's so funny because I listened to my brother, Gabriel, and he's like, there is no community. So, So you're wanting black America to own, or in a sense of becoming entrepreneurs, to own their business, and when you think about the history of black America straight out of slavery, we were entrepreneurs. We were not workers. The only type of work maybe that we may have done was domestic work, maybe a few school teachers. But, you know, you came home to someone that had the laundromat, the, you know, the deli, you know, the store. I mean, we did our sharecropping. Of course, we had a diversity. But even in the sharecropping, you were the owner of, in a sense, of how much money you were going to make at the end of the week based on what you were sharing the cropping in, you know, in a sense.
Yeah.
We did not get into the office until after education. And, you know, we're told to, you know, get a good education and go get a job. It was funny that we didn't say go get an education and start a business.
Right.
So do you feel that now we're in 2017, entrepreneurship for me is very easy because of the internet and having access to the consumers. Do you feel that
Absolutely.
Black America is a consumer of that as well? And not really taking advantage of the technology and the advancement of their education? Heavy question.
Well, yes, that is a heavy question. I think people get caught up in some aspects of technology, like, oh, my goodness, social media rules the world right now, right? So,
supposedly.
Yeah. Right. I feel like we can definitely do more, but that, you know, we're taking steps. The technology is actually a step up in improving the situation.
For some reason, this question wants to come out, but not come out the way that I want to ask it.
Okay.
Whose dream are we chasing?
Well, it depends on what we are doing. Unfortunately, most of the time when we work for a full-time job that offers quote-unquote benefits, which are widely available to just about anybody, whether you're working for an employer or not, when we work to build someone else's dream, it's most likely that our own dreams don't come to fruition.
And are you in this ownership also including or looking at the Buy Black movement? And what is it that you think about that?
I am absolutely in support of the Buy Black movement because, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of times we come into our homes and in our neighborhoods. In their neighborhoods, we find that if we want to go to a grocery store, it's not owned by people who look like us. A fast food restaurant not owned by people who look like us. The laundromat most likely is not owned. You know, things that we use, especially outside of our home, it leaves our community. It leaves our pockets and builds up the communities of others. Even if you rent an apartment, you're making your landlord rich, and they probably have a mansion somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all for buying black, and there's plenty of directories, especially online. So usually when I find something I need, especially around the house, like tissue, toothbrushes, laundry detergent, I'm able to find it online from a black-owned company. And that's where I look first, black-owned.
Very nice. Very nice. So you're saying it's important. Could you tell us in your heart of hearts, the reason why, a little bit, I don't know if we really covered it, you know, we might have crossed it, but why is it so important?
Well, we live in a country based in capitalism. And as I said, we're encouraged to be consumers. Really, we have the money, but it's only a power when we're building each other up, when we're building up our communities like other ethnic groups do for themselves. Something that I read that really caught my eye. I'm hopeful that many of your listeners are familiar with Black Wall Street of the late 1800s, early 1900s. Some famous locations were Tulsa, Oklahoma, Durham, North Carolina, and even here in New York, we had Seneca Village. But what stuck out to me was these communities were really built up just 50 years. Only 50 years after traditional slavery ended. So we had Black Wall Street in several communities, and they produced some of the first Black millionaires, like Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Arthur Gaston. So unfortunately, those things were destroyed and taken away from us. But the upside to it is we did it before, and so we can do it again, and we are doing it now, especially online, digitally, through the internet. I think it's really irresponsible for us to keep having the conversations and being aware of the problem without also the solution. So that's why I like to talk about supporting Black business.
Okay. And I agree with you there. I mean, you can't, and I think I said something on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. If you're here to complain, stop.
Yes.
Because your complaints, you know, I believe in a higher vibration. Your complaints are only going to feed more of what you're complaining about.
Right.
And if you really are about change, you can only implement change. Implementation is a verb action. You know, and so if you are going to verbalize it, then you've got to be about it.
Absolutely.
Because it all runs into the same. If you want currency, you've got to create the current for that currency to come in. Ooh, you're going to get me preaching
absolutely.
In a few minutes, but I'm bouncing over here.
Absolutely right.
I might have to bring you on to ponder this and talk about the love of entrepreneurship. Because that is a love, too. And I, you know, my thing is, my next question really was going to be, do you feel that post this, what they call, and, you know, I'm kind of, this, and I, this is another reason why I love what you said, because you're talking passion pusher. We use words that kill our desire to grow. Because if you're going to say, dream killer, hence you have killed the dream just by verbalizing that, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, they have this thing called post-slavery syndrome. I would like to back away from that.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of, because when you diagnose, then you've created the mental disease for people to still sit in their funk. If, and I think that was a funded thing, and see, now I'm going to get into my politics. Certain things are, I believe, funded within the communities through, you mentioned, government.
Right.
To keep fear alive. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you look at the – now, we can look at the science of a lot of things. We can look at the science of Obama winning because he used the vibration of positivity. He used the vibration of love. We can. and where there right. is love and positivity, you expand the numbers in order to grow. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, he knew what he was doing. Trump did too. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. That's a vibration, right. people. You know?
Right.
The other thing is we can look at the Black Panther movie.
Yes.
You know, the image that was used to show a non-slave movie, which people have been waiting for.
Right.
And we put our money towards, again, something positive in nature in terms of the image of what it looked for. There are some signs and symbols in there that are saying sort of certain things. But, you know, when we are, when we can diagnose ourselves, and those both were diagnoses. Yes, we can is a diagnosis of I can do it. And it
right.
puts a vibration of momentum, like I said, verbalizing. And then with the Black Panther movement, I mean the Black Panther movie, ooh, is it a movement? About to find out. using not the verbal aspect, but the imagery of success. We
yeah.
ran to that. And so if we can verbalize and show the imagery of the entrepreneurship that looks like success and speaks success, then we could erase this so-called diagnosis of post-slavery syndrome.
I like how you think. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, I said all that to say that I agree with your thoughts. But, you know, if we are about solutions, if we really are about solutions, we should stay in the here and now.
Right.
And buy from entrepreneurs like you. And so that...
I appreciate it.
So that... Well, and two, it's because the more that we buy from each other, then the more that we can show entrepreneurial success.
Right.
We don't have to go across the fence or go into somebody else's neighborhood to show that we've made it. And even Martin Luther King was backing up on how he had done things. His mind had changed based on the education and the journey that he took. Malcolm X, his mind had changed, you know, at the end of, you know, before both of them could really express their true understanding of what should be done before those solutions were able to come out, they were silenced, I believe.
Right.
But now it's kind of hard to break the silence because every culture, if you watch on Facebook, is trying to solve their own problem. And we have to also solve ours. But give me some last words from you based on what it is, because I think I just... I got on my soapbox. We're both on the same soapbox, sister, I tell you.
Yes.
Been doing this for 22 years, so. But I would like to give me some last words in terms of what you want to say to the people in terms of owning, you know, a business in America.
Okay. So if people are having a hard time, I believe that everyone has a story to tell. So write a book. But get a professional to edit it for you. You know, we give away free labor by cleaning houses, cleaning yards, providing child care. Those are just some of the simple things. A lot of hobbies can be transformed into a source of income that, you know, when you hold a workshop or teach a course. But just keep in mind that when you do what you love and you love what you do, then you're really living. So...
I love that. I love that. I appreciate you. Let people know where you are and where you can be found. After today, you definitely can be found in the directory, Deep Exposure, but let people know how they can contact you and how they can find your products as well.
Cool. Again, my website is www.equanimityfornyc.net. I can be found on Instagram at MVP_equanimity, and it pretty much is spelled how it sounds.
Right, right. Okay, fantastic. I appreciate you being on Deep Exposure, and I look forward to more.
Thank you so much, Corey.
You're welcome.
The sponsor for this program is Prosperity. Looking for ways to cut down your payments, whether it is your mortgage, your credit card payments, or your loans? Allow Prosperity to win in your life. Go to bit.ly/prosperitywon. Again, that's bit.ly/prosperitywon.
Hey, 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 that was a very interesting conversation. I can go in deep with that. I am a man of my people. I love my people, and I love to see my people rise. There's never a low moment in life if we just look higher into ourselves to see who we are. We can all rise and all rise as one, but as one individual, becoming one successful people. So I want to thank Valtisha for being on and inspiring me as well. I hope she has inspired you. Coming up next, we have Sherry Poem. I know this woman, and she is one awesome human being doing some awesome things. I believe she has a friend that will be coming on as well with her, so we're going to get into that in a few seconds. Let me, because I don't know who us is. You know, I know who us is, me, myself, and I, my higher power and self. Let us introduce Sherry Poem.
Sherry Poem is a producer, director, writer, teaching artist, and a versatile actress with stage, television, independent film, and national commercial credits. Sherry birthed Poem Productions, a production company that creates, develops, and produces imaginative work for stage, film, video, and live events. Pullum Productions, the BCFF and BCMF with Randy G Music and TriArc Community Development Corp. Sherry created DramaSize, an artist education program to help youth build self-esteem, nurture creative and building strong communication skills. Sherry is the creator and writer of her first TV series, Sherry Red, Sweet Escape. She is a co-writer, dramaturge, and performer in the nationally toured play, Ashes, and is an artist in residence at Brown University.
Sherry, 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 how are you?
I'm good, Corey, Corey, Corey.
I know you is, girl.
It's
all happening. It's all. Say it again.
I said, what's happening, my brother?
Oh, it's all happening over here. A lot of great things are happening over here. I think I see two of your friends online as well. I am going to welcome them in a few minutes, but I want you to give a little bit of an introduction to the Bergen County Film Festival, and then I'll introduce them, and you could tell me what, or they can introduce themselves and tell me what their roles are as well.
Cool.
So give
wonderful.
Me
wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh no. So the Bergen County Film Festival. Give us a little into that.
Okay. So my two friends and partners in crime and colleagues that are in the holding queue. First of all, we want to say thank you, Corey, very much for the work that you do. Thank you for having us on. And I was just listening to the previous interview, and what she said is totally right. And that's what we believe before is you got to do what you love to do, and it will all work out. You know, success comes when you do what you love to do. So these people that are going to join in, Randy Glover, I call him Randy G, and Deborah Keeling Geddes. We love what we do, and we're doing the Bergen County Film Festival 2018. We are launching it this year, Randy Glover, who's going to come on in a few, is the creator and sort of the brainchild behind this. And Deborah and I are producers, along with Erica Glover as well, his better half. That's Randy G's better half, Erica. Is also a producer, and Randy G is the executive producer. So the film festival, it's the first Bergen County Film Festival. It's going to be in Teaneck at the Teaneck Cinemas right here in Teaneck, New Jersey. And for you New Yorkers, that is just across the George Washington Bridge. So it starts March 9th with a gala reception at the Hackensack Performing Arts Center. And then the 10th and the 11th are the screenings. So there's the intro to the film festival and a little bit about Randy and Deborah and Erica. So whenever you'd like to bring them on, we're ready for you.
They are in. I don't know who is who. 669. Who is that?
This is Randy Glover.
Okay, Randy Glover, how are you this evening?
I'm well, sir. Good evening. I'll just give a very brief description. I'm Randy Glover.
Okay. Introduce yourself. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm Randy Glover. I'm the chairman of Trout Community Development Corporation. And basically, as Sherry said, the executive producer of the Bergen County Film Festival, as well as the creator. And essentially, that's it. I have a dynamic crew of women who are actually producing it and who are making sure that it is an awesome event. And, you know, I'm of the feeling that women rule the world. And I might be alone in that, but I doubt it.
No, you're not, brother.
But,
there's a lot of kings out there that know that.
And these women are so dynamic, so diverse, and their energy, their know-how, their prowess at putting these events together, mobilizing the people and the talent, and just really making everything come together is just so awesome. You know, I think sometimes we have to take a back seat and let, you know, their royalty shine. And these women are very regal, very classy, and very knowledgeable. And I'm humbled just to have them working with me.
Okay. Fantastic.
Aww,
and
thank you, Randy G.
And the other guest is?
Hello?
Hi, I'm Erica
Williams Glover, the better half of Mr. Randy Glover.
There you
okay.
go.
There you go. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I've been working with Mr. Glover for a couple of years now. We've been doing a lot of different promotions with this big one coming up of the film festival. We've been working on different music events in Philadelphia and Jersey. So we're really excited about this film festival coming up.
Okay. Are you also in the industry as well?
I'm sorry?
Are you also in the industry as well, an actress, a producer, a director, a writer, a singer, dancer? Are you also in the arts?
I'm relatively new in this this game that we're in. I'm actually coming in being Miss Glover with Randy, and he's bringing me in, and him and Sherry and Deborah, they're all teaching me as I go and grow with them.
Got it.
She's also a wonderful producer as well. So she's one of our producers as well.
Okay. So how did this – is that everybody? Did I get everybody?
I think so, because unfortunately Deborah Keeling Geddes, who is the other producer, she had a death in her family, so she was traveling, so it was a little difficult for her to be able to call in. We thought maybe she might make it to call in, but safe travels, Deborah.
Okay, well, we definitely give out our condolences to her and her family and with the love of her, the spirit reaching its destination safely, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did this get started? Why the Bergen County Film Festival?
Well,
Randy, I think
we
should address that.
So we do a number of events, as Erica alluded to. We do the Bergen County Music Festival. We do Main Street Live Music Series in Bergen County. We saw a deficiency in different types of entertainment offered to people of color. And seeing that, we knew we had to take the mantle. That's myself, Sherry, Deborah, and Erica, and basically produce our own product. We can't leave it up to other people to decide what it is, you know, we want to be entertained by, and we can't rely on them to fund it, essentially. We have to be independent enough, if we believe in what we're doing, to put our pennies, you know, and ducats behind it and make it work. And when they see it working, they come aboard. You know, we have somebody as dynamic as Sherry, who brought in a whole different dynamic as far as her management skills, her marketing skills, and her theatrical background, that's just taking it to another level. You know, that's why, as I said, I defer to the women, because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, but they bring something fresh, and I don't want to say of the moment, but you see where America is going. You see what kind of energy and power women are bringing to this country. These women represent that power. They represent that knowledge. They represent what we in America are finally realizing, and we in Black America always knew.
Right, right. And so are you, where were you getting, or where are you? Well, where were you? Because this is coming up this weekend. Where were you finding the artists?
Well, I used to do events with WBLS, a weekly event in New York City. I used to do events with WDAS in Philadelphia. And I used to also do events with the New York Mets, as well as Windows on the World and a bunch of other things. So I never have a problem finding artists. I've tied into the record labels a lot of times. I used to have a group on Warner Brothers, and I've been tied into radio for over, I would say, 30 years. So finding artists, I don't think, is such a hard task. And then when it came to the film aspect, this is Sherry's expertise, where she was able to just really put everything together and really give it some form, some shape, and make it cohesive.
Yeah, and we also went to artists in our local community, other organizations. We put out, you know, a call really for artists. We also put out a call in schools, so we would get a variety of student films as well, because their voices are important too, for this festival to be heard. And again, we put out, as Randy says, a call within our own community. And because both of us have been in this industry for quite some time, him in music and me in theater, and now in film and entering into the world of television, we drew upon that too. So I drew upon some of my, you know, personal contacts, and just we put the word out. So we have a number of films for sure. Great films, yeah.
And it's funny because we just had Tina Jetter on, and she, I believe, is also in the festival.
She is.
I think it's one of her.
Yes, she is. Why I Stayed is one of her pieces. She has another piece as well that we're showing as well.
Right. A Sub in the Brick City, I believe.
Yes, A Sub in the Brick City. Correct.
Right, right. Research is always great. I love the internet. I love technology. So, you know, and I did not know that until a few minutes before getting on. I decided to go to your website to actually see what was happening. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. And it, I love my job, people. I love my job.
Say that. Plug A Sub in the Brick City, Tina Jetter, her film will be shown on Saturday, from 3:30 to 4:55. It will be in that time slot.
Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. This is film. Are these all long form? I see featured films. So were there shorts or, you know, what are the different types of films that you actually have showing? And what were you looking for when it came to the type of film you were wanted to be a part of the festival?
Well, really opened it up to all genres, really. And Randy can go on after. I just wanted to say this one quick thing, but we did get a number of shorts, so, and we have two feature films that we're also showing. So the festival is screening for 2 days, and believe it or not, it's going to be jammed packed in those 2 days. And we also have two panel discussions as well. So we really are trying to give people as much of a great experience with the shorts as well as the feature films. So we tried to structure the shorts so we kind of have a family session in the first part of the day on Saturday. And we have a panel discussion. And then we have drama shorts. So we really kind of put the shorts and webisodes together with drama. That's kind of how we tried to lump, so people would get a full experience. And then we have feature films at the end of the evening.
Okay, so this is really a full day.
It's a full day, correct.
Right.
I think it's, again, it's Saturday, Sunday. We really want people to have a great, cinematic, and it's going to be in the theater, so they should really just feel comfortable, relaxed, and ready to see some great films.
Great, great, great. Randy, when you conceived of this thought for the festival and then really got it working, found your team, what is it that you really wanted to see in terms of film when it came to, or content, let's put it that way, because that's what it all is content, for the festival? What was your goal? You met it.
Well, it's actually a continuation of various projects that we've been working on. As I mentioned earlier, we do the Bergen County Bergen County Music Festival, where we have an assortment of artists from different genres, as well as we did a Day of Healing in combination with that, where we had Imam, we had someone from the Catholic faith, we had Baptist. So we brought them all together because, you know, we're also religious people as well, and we wanted to bring that aspect into it. And then in the summertime, we do a weekly series, and we did the first official Caribbean night concert in Hackensack. We did the first Latin night. We did the first official LGBTQ night. We did the first Hometown Heroes. So we have all these themes that we do, and the whole town comes out. This year, we're also doing Bollywood to represent the Indian community. So the film festival is an offshoot of all of that. We looked for everything. We do have an LGBTQ film. We have something about immigration. We have something. We have almost like a little Love and Hip Hop segment. To that point, we even have someone from the Love and Hip Hop New York cast that's going to be on our music panel. So we're looking to really be inclusive. We're looking to show people that if you have a dream, follow that dream. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it. Our second panel, like we have Black Girl Magic, that's one. But we have another panel that's going to be on Sunday that's from, what is Sherry, from Concept to Completion? And
correct.
We have industry vets that will tell you exactly step by step, like how to make that dream come true. Like, what are the legal aspects? What are the creative aspects? What are I'm drawing a blank, but like, you know, the
distribution, legal,
yeah, we're doing distribution, licensing, everything, you know,
okay.
To help you navigate through these things that people don't think about. You make a film, it's not only going to be shown here, it's going to be shown internationally, you hope. Then what happens if you make a film that would create the video? How do you derive a revenue stream from that? How is that revenue stream accounted for? How do you get paid? You know, how do you get paid for overseas distribution? I mean, all these things, you know, are what you have to consider. If they use your music in a television commercial, how do you get paid for the mechanical royalties and the licensing? So, you know, on the face of it, it seems very simple. But when you break it down, you see how many revenue streams that can come in from one piece of material that you created. You know, it's phenomenal.
Yes, yes, it is. And how do you protect your content?
Trademark and copyright.
Oh yeah, well there's more to that. I've been in the business for 22 years, and there's more to that than meets the eye. So I get it. So where do you want to see this festival go,
Sherry?
Well, I think, as Randy said, I mean, this is just our first year, so we're just launching it and getting it off the ground. And I think what draws us all together is that we're committed to being inclusive, and we're committed to showing art that represents all of the communities in Bergen County. So not just a particular group of people. So for us, that's super important. And I think there's so many voices that want to be heard, that want to be included in this festival, that I think just launching it this year, I think that we will be able to continue with it next year and the following year. And of course, we want to bring on sponsors. We definitely want to bring on other people, other artists. We want to make it extended even longer. And one of Randy's visions was to sort of include fashion in it and, you know, other surprises. I mean, other things. The music industry certainly is about, I mean, that's the music. The film industry certainly is about music and fashion. So really having events that speak to that throughout the festival. But really, this is just a start. The most important thing is that the filmmakers, maybe next year we'll be able to have some, you know, prize or some kind of award if your film wins. Or, you know, really for us, it's also looking at it and how does the producer, the director, the filmmaker, what can they get out of it? A lot of knowledge and resources and information and networking potential, and to really grow it so that it can be beneficial to the community and to the artists.
Yeah, fantastic. So again, let our people know when, where, and how they can find out more information about you.
Okay, so they can go to www.bergencountyfilmfestival.com. They can also find out information on the Facebook page, Bergen County Film Festival. I also will be posting quite a bit, so you can find out from Sherry Pullum on Facebook, randygmusic.com. Randy, am I leaving any other thing out?
I think you were kind of comprehensive there.
Okay, just want to make sure I'm not leaving anything out. It is from March 9th is the opening, which is the gala reception. And that is at the Hackensack Performing Arts Center in Hackensack, right in their multi-million-dollar renovated new building, or renovated building, I should say. It will be
in
the art gallery
in Hackensack.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Go ahead, Randy, say that again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Hackensack Performing Arts Building is located at 102 State Street in Hackensack. It, like Sherry said, it's a renovated building. They spent a couple of million dollars on renovating it. We're having a small gallery reception in the art gallery, which is a beautiful thing. We did a sold-out Valentine's Day event where we used the art gallery as well as the performance space, the stage, and they had to close the doors. They weren't letting any other people in, and I think we had the first official sellout of the venue. And then the actual screenings are taking place at the Teaneck Cinemas at 503 Cedar Lane in Teaneck, New Jersey. So this is a real movie theater, very comfortable seats, you know, regular big screen. You know, a lot of people, they don't have an opportunity to actually see their productions on a screen in a movie theater with an audience, you know. Mm-hmm. So this way they get an opportunity to see what it's like. They're part of Hollywood on those 2 days.
Right. Okay. Right. I'll call it Bergenwood. Bergenly Ward. Might have to come up with their own, like, Nollywood. Nollywood,
yeah.
Bollywood.
Yeah.
You know. NJ Wood,
something.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
awesome.
We hope that people will, again, come and participate and support. Again, if you don't support these films, you know, we all say we want to see more films with us being represented,
right?
You know, with people of color being represented. We want our stories to be told, and the only way that they're going to be told is if we support them. So it's not just, you know, and for women's stories to be told, and for all stories. So, and the only way that we can continue to have that is to support independent filmmakers and producers and writers and directors and actors.
Exactly. I will piggyback off of that because I've been on my soapbox all night, so I might as well continue. You know, my thing is to put a call out. It's so funny because the woman that we just spoke to was talking about, you know, buy black. And I think we really leave out the aspect that artists, it's a business, folks. It is a business. It is one of the largest industries that employ people when you're doing it right and when it's supported right in our community. Art creates jobs. It is not just for the entertainment aspect of it, but it creates the work. You not only need a makeup artist, you not only need the actors and the musicians, but you need the craft services. You need the lawyers, you need the graphic designers, you need the other aspects of the arts in there. You need PAs. This industry is one of the best industries to learn something in. I've been doing it since college in different forms and facets for myself, but also trying to create a platform for people of color, but had to back away for personal reasons. But, you know, my thing now is to teach businesses, black businesses, why the industry is so important, because it is the partnership. I call it my win-win-win. When you can bring a business into supporting the arts, you are creating jobs, and then you're also giving jobs. It is called the infinity of life, where you give to give. And then you're also giving to the community through viewership and learning stories that are from diverse minds of people. You know, what we see in mainstream could be completely a different twist from a different writer, from a different cultural background, and
that's
telling
right.
a story from the eyes of their journey through life. And so that's why the arts are important. If you want your children to learn, if you even want to grow personally, you know, it should be of your liking to go and see some of the work of independent artists and see what they're speaking and what they're giving and commune spiritually and mentally around their stories and take it home and then tell friends and tell two more friends and other friends to come out and support and to view. But for businesses to put their money behind these artists, it is a great gift. It is one of the best things that we can do for our arts community to grow, because if you want to see it, it's got to be produced. There's got to be money behind it. If we can put $4.12 million, you know, to Black Panther, then we can put 4 point, you know, actually we can put 6 point, you know, 2 million, if not billion, really, because I've done the math. We can actually put 6 billion or more to an artist to produce their work, at least 10 artists to produce their work within a 5-year span. So it can be done. So I love what you guys are doing. I love what you guys are bringing. That's why, Sherry, when I heard about it, I'm like, you know, let me get you on the show. Let me help you push this. So the other place that people will be able to find it is in our directory all this week, and we'll be pushing it out for you as well on DPX.
Great.
Thank
we appreciate
you so much.
For
you. We do. Keep on
you're
doing
welcome.
What you're doing. Keep on doing
I
what
definitely
you're doing.
Will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
you.
Keep being the inspirational person that you are, and keep the faith, as you always do. I
oh,
do
yeah.
want to say one thing that we didn't mention. We talked about a little bit about the Black Girl Magic changing the narrative. That's going to be an amazing discussion, not to be missed, is what I want to say. That's on Saturday from 2 mm-hmm. to 3:15. We have some amazing women on the panel. So changing the narrative, changing the way we view ourselves and see ourselves in this industry. So.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm truly going to try to find a way to get there, Sherry.
And Corey, just one more thing that we do, and Sherry's been very instrumental in this. Without summer series, you know, people are used to going to concerts, but what they're not used to getting, we give a scholarship away every week. We do a concert. We give a $500 scholarship away, and we have, you know, various businesses that donate it, because if you're doing business in the community, you have to invest in the community, and the way to invest
That's
in
right.
the community is to give back to the children of the community. And that's something we started. We have two major businesses who give, my bank that I bank at, as well as a car dealership, and this year also my freeholder, one of the freeholders in Bergen County. And next thing we're trying to do is a special needs scholarship, because we've discovered that there are a lot of special needs kids, but there's some special needs children that go to college as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and to have a mission to include our people also means educating our people. And if we can help, you know, partially finance, whether it's $500 that they can use for books or to put it in their pocket, because we give them cash. You know?
Okay.
I think that's a very relevant thing. Like, people will be surprised how far $500 goes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned the special needs. I got to see if I can find this brother for you. He did a documentary on 3 special needs individuals that were in college, one blind, one quadriplegic. All he could not use arms and legs, and he was a physicist, and these were people of color. These people,
That's
yeah, and they were in college and at the – you know, the highest level of education. It makes me want to find him and see if he still has that sitting on his shelf, and saying, hey, there's a festival that you can place that in next year in Bergen County.
Yeah.
Wait. You only take Bergen County people, though, because he's from Kansas City.
No, we don't. We take more than
No, we don't. No, we don't. But interestingly enough, we had a young man by the name of Matthew Whitaker. He's a prodigy. He won the amateur night at the Apollo with Steve Harvey. He's been on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He flies all over the world. The Walton sent a private jet for him when they want him to play. But he also has performed for us like 3 times. And he's only 17 now. He's been playing since he was 3 years old.
Oh,
and he's blind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Phenomenal young man.
All right.
Well,
awesome.
Well, I have to say one more. Randy, I'm going to still give you a shout out. I know he didn't really want us to, but I am going to say that, you know, Randy is the kind of brother and man that it does care about his community, because he doesn't have to do all that he's doing, and he is funding much of these projects that are happening and going on. So when people think about coming and supporting, I mean, you really do have to think about really, you know, donating and going to the website. I think we might have a donation button. If we don't, there should be, Randy. But certainly if anybody is interested in donating, they can go to the website, they can call the number, because this kind of work takes more than just being able to talk about it. It also takes having to put money behind it. And I'm going to say that Randy, certainly, he talks about it, but he also walks the walk. So,
and that's what you want to fund, people. People, I'll put 2 cents behind that. That is what you want to fund. You want to fund those that are doing the work, creating the work, and implementing the work, because you know the
Correct.
Work will get done. So, yeah, two thumbs up on that, folks. 5 stars
there
for you guys.
Now you see why I say these are phenomenal, phenomenal women. I mean, once you meet them, you understand just how phenomenal they are. Sherry, Deb, Erica, I mean, again, these are women who, they have the intellect, they have the talent, and they have the managerial skills to pull everything together and make it happen. And without them, this would not happen, plain and simple.
Fantastic.
We have a great
Fantastic.
Team. I second that. We have a great team.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, people, you heard it here first. I'm wishing you all the best. I hope I can come out to one of those. You know, my traveling is a little limited right now, but I am going to try to make it to something. So I hope to be able to meet Randy and Erica and Deborah in person this weekend coming.
Yeah.
And thank you for being okay. And thank you for being on.
You're
all quite right,
welcome.
Thank
you for having us.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
W Productions and our partners Brook Vision Productions and Starchild 7 Entertainment are looking for businesses to support and sponsor our DQ's live events. Proceeds from our events that will be live streaming online will be going towards the Black Family Land Trust organization, as well as Grocers on Wheels. If you are a business that would like to help us eradicate food deserts, as well as feed families with healthy food, please contact us at doubleeproductions.com. That's the word double, 2 E's, productions with an S, .com. We look forward to speaking with you about how we can partner to build a better world that is less hungry.
All right, folks, that was our show. You heard it here, Bergen County, next weekend. Be there, be square. Valtisha Parker, she got a chance to talk about why ownership in America is needed amongst the Black community. And you also heard from John Reich and Tina Jetter about their movie coming out, Save Me, Save You. I hope I said that right, or Save You, Save Me. But you're going to find all that information on DPX directory. Go to Deep Exposure. That's exposure without the E, deepexposure.com. For more information on the people that you met tonight, you can definitely get their websites, their social media pages, and find out everything that you need to find out about them. Also, go into our archives and listen to some of the people that we've had on the show since February 5th when we started. Again, deepexposure.com. Make sure you also find us on Facebook. Go to Facebook. You can find us on Twitter on Deep Seeing. That's DPSEEING. That's under Double E Production, our parent company. And make sure you check us out Saturday, ponderthis.com. What is love?
So I want to play this piece from a YouTube video.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.